Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. I've got a couple of short announcements this morning. Those who might be interested in working at God's storehouse this week, the backpack program will occur on Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock. This is where volunteers go in and help accumulate those items and put those items in backpacks for children who need to have them home over the weekends. And if you're interested in helping with this program, then call the church office for more details. Also, the Community Ash Wednesday service will be Wednesday, March 6th at 7 o'clock. This is going to be at Trinity United Methodist Church on Averett Boulevard, on Arnett Boulevard, excuse me. And Marie Louisa has some announcements for membership committee.
Good morning. Hopefully you all have gotten a chance to fill out your membership directory form. If not, I've still got some samples in the juice room for you all to pick up. But today is the start of rollout number 3. So we've got new member pages of those who hadn't done it yet, and we've got some updates. So please come to the juice room afterwards to pick up your copies and then either change them out or add them to what you already have. One other thing too, I'll change my little hat. This coming Saturday, since Lent will start on Wednesday, the kitchen committee thought it would be nice to start cleaning the upstairs big kitchen. We will start at 1 p.m. If you want to bring a bucket, your gloves, and some cleaning products, you don't have to, but that would be cute. We would love you to come help clean. This won't be the only opportunity, but we'll just get a good start for the Lenten season. Thank you.
Join me with a responsive call to worship. God reigns. Let the peoples tremble. God is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake. We will extol you, O God, and worship at your holy mountain, for you, our God, are holy. Let us worship God. The first hymn of praise today is number 462, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies.
Thank you.
Let us go to God with a prayer of confession. Mystery of mysteries, hide not your face from us. Hear our confession and forgive us of sin. We go to the mountains to escape our involvement. We hear your commandments, then hide from their truth. We disguise our faces to conceal our identities. Christ unmasks our pretense and strips us of pride. Help us not to be afraid to encounter your presence, and through Christ to stand before you, cleansed of our sin. And now we may pray silently to Christ. Hear the assurance of pardon. The truth is this: as the heavens opened, God spoke and proclaimed that Christ was the chosen one. Listen to him. Our Savior proclaims that all who truly believe are cleansed of their sin. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Children can come forward.
You can come a little closer if you want to, so you can hear. Come on. Come on down. Come on down. Come closer. Y'all looking good this morning. I'm going to make sure to check y'all out. You look good. Happy Sunday to you. How's everybody? Good, good. I want to read a special scripture verse, and I believe you probably have heard it before. I sure hope you have. If you haven't, I'm glad to be reading it to you today. It's from the New Testament, the book of John. That's one of the what? The four what? Right, he was one of the disciples, and it's one of the four Gospels. Remember the first four books of the Bible. So we're reading from John. And we're reading John 3:16, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So tell me what that means. A lot of big words in there. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Who was his Son?
Jesus.
That's right. That whoever believed in him would not perish, right? Would not die, but have everlasting life forever and ever, right? Is that right, James? That's right. So how can we show our love of God? And how do we know that Jesus loves us too? We can pray, right? What else can we do? We can help people, that's right. What else can we do? How do we know that God loves us? We can listen to him, that's right. He talks to us, doesn't he? In the sermon today, they're going to hear about this thing that happened. It's called the Transfiguration. Now, that is a big word. What does that mean? Transfiguration. I know it. Benjamin, I know. Good gracious, that's big. Change. There's a change that takes place. And the face of Jesus shines brightly. His robe is glistening and bright. And the disciples went up on the mountain. Peter, James, and John went up there, and they saw that. Then all of a sudden, they saw a cloud. And Elijah and Moses and Jesus were there, and there was a cloud, and they heard a voice. And they heard, "This is my son. Listen to him. Hear him." Who was saying that? God. "This is my son," just like he said in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So always remember that God loves us so much that he sent his son. And the disciples saw him, and they saw Jesus in a new way. Jesus was going to share with them how they could help others to know him more too. They saw the change in Jesus and his beautiful face glowing in light and his robes glowing in light, and they saw a change. So help us to be a change for the world, that we can be a voice for others, for God, and to share our love that God has for us with everyone else too, okay? Think about that for this week. How can you share your love of God with others? All right, let's have a prayer together. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you so much for sending us your son, Jesus.
Thank you so much for sending us your son, Jesus.
For showing us to love us.
For showing us to love us.
And he cares for us.
He cares for us.
And help us to do that with everyone that we see each and every day. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
Join me with the prayer for illumination. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today is from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. And when Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses would put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak to him.
Thank you. Thank you to Heather and the choir for a beautiful anthem. We now turn to the gospel lesson. The Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter, and it's the story that Kathy was telling the children about, the transfiguration, beginning in the 28th verse. Now, about the eight days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and the clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Anyone who has lived in Virginia for any length of time knows that we have some of the most beautiful mountain views in the world. A drive along the Skyline Drive and the Blue Ridge Parkway can lead one to marvel at the glories of God's creation with breathtaking views every few miles. That is, of course, dependent on the weather. What can be a marvelous trip surrounded by the oranges and reds and yellows of fall, or the pinks and the whites and the purples of spring, or the cool greens of summer, can turn into a long, fog-shrouded silence where you can't see 2 feet in front of your car and you have to rely on your sense of hearing to prevent running into wildlife or other vehicles. It all depends on the day you're traveling. It can also change in the blink of an eye. If a front comes through, I've been traveling along the parkway when a storm came through and it sounded and looked like bombs lighting and lightning bolts being thrown by giants on either side of the ridge. Every time I read the story of the Transfiguration, I think of traveling in the fog or in the storms along the parkway. Being in a cloud disorients. The gray mist can cast mystical shadows over the meadows and the mountains. Our sense of sound becomes critical as our range and acuity of vision diminishes. Movement slows because we cannot see very far in front of us, and we have no idea what might emerge from the mist. That picture may help us understand the visual aspects of the story of the Transfiguration, but it doesn't help with the voice that comes out of the cloud. Now, you might remember just a month ago or so when we heard about that voice one other time. The voice had spoken on the day that Jesus was baptized. And once again, the voice comes from the heavens. At his baptism, the voice says, "This is my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." This time it said, "This is my son, the chosen one, listen to him. At his baptism, the heavens that open and the Spirit comes down like a dove. This time it is Jesus' face lighting up like Moses did in the passage that Bernadine read from Mount Sinai. Like the prophet Elijah lit up when he spoke the word of God to God's people. After Jesus' baptism, he's led immediately into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. After the transfiguration, Jesus' patience is tested by clueless disciples who misunderstand what they see and are unable to have faith enough once they come down from the mountain. The voice from the cloud has asked them to listen to Jesus, but it doesn't take very long for them to lose faith when confronted by the real world. Jesus takes Peter, James, John up on the mountain to pray, but once the cloud descends, they find themselves terrified, confused. The dazzling white of Jesus' clothes no longer shines as brightly. Perhaps they cannot see Jesus' changed face. Moses and Elijah, those pillars of the faith, are there as well, reminders of the law and the prophets, purveyors of tradition and a promised future, of boundaries and challenge. And they all vanish in the cloud. Being in the cloud, lost in the fog, disorients. No longer weighed down with sleep, their senses grow heightened with adrenaline as they wonder what might be revealed from that cloud and from where. Maybe that's what mountaintop experiences reveal. Sometimes we need to be disoriented in order to truly find our way. Sometimes we must not only keep awake, but be on high alert in order to experience the divine. Sometimes the familiar transforms into the holy, and God appears on roads that we've traveled countless times. Sometimes the pillars of the past point the way to a transfigured, unforeseen future. Sometimes in our terror, the glory of God surrounds us. Sometimes once we've seen Jesus' face, been in the company of Moses and Elijah, and heard God's voice, all we do is keep silent and await further instructions. The story of the transfiguration disorients us. I'm not sure what to do with the vision of long dead people or clothes that glow, or the face of Jesus somehow changed, or a fast descending fog, or a booming voice from heaven. I do know about prayer, at least a little bit. I know about going to a beautiful, far off, secluded place to search for solace or a sense of the holy. I do know about gathering up a few close friends in hope of not being alone, or for some sense of safety. I know about being dog tired and forcing myself to stay awake because circumstances don't allow for rest at that moment. I know about being terrified, lost in a fog, literally and metaphorically, every sense on high alert. But all I can do is wonder what it might be like to see Jesus radiate with light in the company of Moses and Elijah, only to have them fade from sight, while God tells me, shut up and listen to the one I've sent to save you. Seeing God's glory as reflected in a mirror disorients. We know only in part, and yet we act with boldness because of the dazzling light of Christ and the beautiful image of God that permeates through the densest of fogs. The word echoes through creation, and we cannot help but keep silent we cannot help but lean in and listen and wait. We may not know everything, but we know unmistakably of God's presence and of God's power. And therefore, we do not lose heart, even as we wonder what in the world will come next. It's always been interesting to me that when you drive in the fog, the best way to drive in the fog is to keep your headlights on the lowest setting. Now, you're taught that in driver's ed, and you learn that from experience as well, and yet, how many times, I think probably almost every time I'm caught in a fog, what do? I flip them up to the brights and try to see. And of course, in a couple of seconds, I turn them down again because the reflection in the mist is too much. It's too confusing. The only way to navigate in the fog is slowly, with minimal light, with maximum alertness, looking for what might unexpectedly come from the shadows, listening for signs of other people, of other creatures on the road, aware that that one never knows what might emerge as if out of nowhere, even on very familiar terrain. The story of the Transfiguration reminds me that when I am weighed down with sleep, and when I am tired and barely able to function, desperately trying to be a dutiful and attentive to Jesus, that I'm never alone. Other disciples surround me. The covenant of God includes me. The promises and admonishments of the prophets offer me a home and spur me to action. I am enveloped in the cloud that connects heaven and earth. If I can do nothing else, I can be silent and listen. I am in the very presence of the Son of God, and a divine word will come, a great certain mercy that will enable me to let loose my heart, no matter how terrifying it may seem. Fred Craddock tells a wonderful story about a young minister, newly graduated from seminary, and he was serving in his first church, and he gets this call telling him that a church member, an elderly woman who had just given her life to the church, is in the hospital. And she's so weak that she can't even get up out of bed, and the doctors don't hold much hope for her recovery. Question comes, would you come for a visit? Well, of course he'd go. And so he takes off to the hospital. All the way to the hospital, he's thinking about what he's going to say to this Christian lady, what words of comfort he can give her to prepare her for her imminent death. And he arrives at the hospital, goes up to her room for the visit, and he sits and he talks to her for a very few minutes, small talk, nothing earth-shattering. And when he makes ready to leave, he asks if she would like him to have a word of prayer. And she says, of course I'd like a word of prayer. That's why I wanted you to come. So then he asks politely, and what exactly would you like me to pray for? Why, I want you to pray that God will heal me, she answers in a surprised voice. Haltingly, fumbling over the words, he prays and just as she wants, that God will heal her. And even though he's not really sure that's ever going to happen. And when he says amen at the end of the prayer, the woman says, you know, I think it worked. I'm healed. And she gets out of bed, begins to run up and down the hallways of the hospital shouting, praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. Meanwhile, the young minister, in a stupor, stumbles to the stairwell, walks down 5 flights of stairs, makes his way to the parking lot, and somehow manages to find his car. As he fumbles to get his keys out of his pocket, he looks heavenward and says, "Don't you ever do that to me again." he's had a mountaintop moment and he didn't know what to do with it. More often than not, that is how the power of God hits us. When we least expect it, God breaks in. God wakes us up. When we need it desperately, it appears out of nowhere. When we seek to run away from it, it grabs us and turns us in the right direction. Listen for the power of God in your life, for you never know where it will appear next. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed, found in the Aids to Worship. Let us profess together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us remain standing as we sing hymn number 321, Holy Spirit, Truth Divine. Please be seated. Do we have any additional prayer concerns or joys that folks would like to share this morning? Okay. If not, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. God of Moses and Zipporah, Aaron and Miriam, and all who have appeared before you and spoken on your behalf, we give you thanks. Through them you have made known the awesome mystery of your transcendent glory. We give you thanks for Christ Jesus, who tore in pieces the curtain that separates us from you. In his name we can approach you and call you by name. We praise you for the hope we can have in Jesus, who walked among earthly folk, transforming all manner of ills into newness of life. When grief besets us, we can turn to him to lift our spirits. When burdened with cares, we are assured that Jesus shares the yoke with us. When our own death confronts us, we can see on the cross that he too passed victoriously through his time of trial. We give thanks for the freedom we gain through life in the Spirit. We can arise and shame our captors through our confession of faith. We can lead those who oppress others to change of heart and life. We proclaim aloud the day of liberty for all your children with thanksgiving to Christ, who arose victor over all oppression. We are transfigured by your mercy and radically changed by your grace. We set our sights now on the ministry that awaits us, whereby the veil of mystery shall be lifted from your face, and all shall know that you are God with us, that you are with us and at our sides always in Jesus Christ. One of the ways that we make that clear to others is through our prayers. Through our prayers for others. Through our prayers for ourselves. Whether the prayers reach out to people on the other side of the globe, like the people of Togo, going through such awful and chaotic times. Whether that be in places where people are suffering from floods, tornadoes, the ravages of nature, or human tragedy. Lord, hear our prayers and be with and bring comfort. We ask that you would be with the family and or with the friends of Tom West who passed away. And we lift up those friends to you, for he was a man of strong faith, and he testified to that faith, and he was your worthy servant. We ask that you would be with all those who have special needs this week. Be with Claudine, Amy, Lisa, Charles and Lib. Be with Matthew, with Diane, with Kathleen. Hear our prayers for Carolyn, for Martha Jo, for Greg and Bobby. We continue to pray for Gail, for Beth and Bill, for Dana and Sally and Friel. Hear our prayers for Ella, for Sandra, for Jim, for Willem. We pray for Nolte, for Bill, for Ann, for all those concerns that, although all those prayers that wish to be unnamed. Lord, continue to be with James Jr. and James Sr., with Helen, with Diane, with Jane. Be with all of our service personnel and our first responders. Protect them as they protect us. Bring them strength and guidance as they seek to bring peace and justice. Lord, hear our prayers. And bind us together as your people, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Thank you. Let us pray. God of Moses and Elijah, of Christ and the disciples, we too could build you booths, but you would not be pleased. We could bring you burnt offerings, but you do not desire them. You ask us to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. We come now before you, placing our lives in your service. Take us, women and men, young and old, to use us as you deem fit, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And our final hymn this morning is hymn number 393, Take Up Thy Cross.